Why did he have to say it? Why couldn't Jed Will have said that today? Or why couldn't he have said that tomorrow?
Honestly, it'll be perfect. It'll be perfect for somebody like Rodney, who has told us off the air about, you know, the injuries over the years, the stuff that adds up, and it'll be great to get his perspective on, you know, somebody like Jed saying that. Look, Jed
Rodney
offered it up. He offered it up. He was.
I know.
I think he was probably trying to do it in his mind. I think Jed was thinking, oh, I'm going to explain to people why I'm not playing well, why I've struggled this year. And instead, he said the worst thing an athlete in this day and age can say.
He
right?
said the worst thing you could possibly say. The absolute worst thing. I mean, Judas Priest, it's so bad. And some people, I can't believe he used the word and everything. He used the phrase and everything. He said business decision. Cavs talk coming up in about 8 minutes here, by the way. Because they got to go for the gusto. If you have a chance to make this history, you can. I know that some people are a little bit worried about some one thing in particular. Hard to be worried about anything when you're 12-0, but there's one subtle point in particular that I think a lot of people are starting to think about in the back of their heads here. But when he uses the term, when Jed Williams uses the term business decision, I mean, that is seen as a, that is a knock on anybody. I mean, Owen, you know this. I know this. Any high school coach out there knows this. You say that to your players. You say that. If a guy pulls up on a sideline or something, or if you just try to push a guy out of bounds or something, or you are avoiding contact, or you go up, like, what are you going to do? You're going to go up and negotiate with him to try to make the tackle? Why are you making business decisions out here? See a lot of business decisions out here, and I'm getting damn sick and tired of. Like, that's what you say to people. It's a bad term. And for him to offer it up like that, buddy, what are you doing?
And you're looking for a contract. You know, that's the other part of it.
You can look all you want. You ain't going to find it after a comment like that. It's such a small group that people talk about. It's one of the worst things you could say about an offensive lineman. Because, again, I there will be more that could possibly be said at the end of the season, but I can tell you that I would imagine that there has to be some, I'll use the term resentment, amongst his brethren when there is something like that said. And regardless of a reset or a rebuild, he's not going to be part of that. And that's one of the things, by the way, that people are going to use against the current general manager, that you have a fifth-year offensive tackle talking about a business decision. And some have tried to explain it as best they can. I would get that you might be a little bit ginger on an injury like that. You're a big person. Your legs being knocked out from underneath you, that can be difficult. But when I hear that term and you're 2-7, I'm going, man, this thing is circling right now. And it can get far, far worse. That's why I can't say, oh, yeah, Kevin Stefanski's perfectly safe or Andrew Berry's perfect. No, you're only halfway through the year. This thing can get far worse. Or as some people thought, yeah, the train's already off the tracks. So the question becomes, when Robert Mays says, he says soft reset, that's a quote. You don't like that term. You think, hey, you're either in or you're out. You're doing one thing or the other. I still find it just so hard to believe that this team coming back, if they have good quarterback play, if people had confidence in Deshaun Watson coming back, would they have been picked to be a 9-8 or 8-9 football team like so many people picked him to be? I mean, nobody was saying that they were going to be 2-7 to start the season, no. Anthony. Nobody said that. And so my thought is, if you had faith in it, because if you go out there and you draft a guy in the first round this year, there's automatically going to be more optimism for that guy than what you had going into this last year. So if you had faith in this quarterback, then what do you think that people would have been saying about this football team and their record going into the season? If they had, name it, if they had C.J. Stroud as quarterback, what do you think people would have been saying about this Cleveland Browns football team going into the season? You name the QB, and it probably would have been better. So it makes me pause and go, with that, with the dead cap, with all this, do I really want to just get rid of all these players?
I just wonder.
Do I really want to do that?
And this is my fear, that we are overrating our talent right now, and we've only been getting older. I mean, every year we're getting older, and especially what they did in the offseason. Like, if there's one thing we can all point to with Andrew Berry's offseason is, you got older. Does that look like the smartest thing to do when the teams in the Browns situations, they want to get younger? Got rookies in this league. They make an impact so much easier now than ever before, and all around the spectrum of players,
but
too.
My fear is that we throw the baby out with the bathwater this winter, get rid of all these guys, and then next late season, we're watching all these guys play well for these football teams again, like we have so many times in the past. Why couldn't we hold on to this guy when he's playing for a playoff team, or that guy, or that guy, or that guy? Like the one time when they had, what was it, the Falcons NFC Championship game, and they had a list of former Browns players as a graphic playing in the football game, in a playoff football game while we were sitting watching at home. You know, I don't want to go through all that again, because every time we get a new general manager...
I know, but if they're not helping us, what good does it do to keep them here? Don't you want to find their replacements?
Because every general manager you get when you replace a GM, it's almost like I'm making an argument for Andrew Berry right now. Every general manager you get feels that they need to replace or need to reinvent the wheel. There has to be something there where you can do it over a course of time where, hey, you can still be a relatively competitive football team after this year. It's not always going to be sunshine, but there's going to be thought where, hey, if you think about it to the top of the draft, if you have a new person at the most important position, you're automatically going to have, or you should have, a little bit more faith in the way things are going to go. Because, man, all these guys, you bring in new general managers, now we got to do it my way. Well, we can't do it that guy's way, now we got to do it my way. And then you let these good players fall through the cracks.
I know, it's just, I think back to, and this is why I sit here and I wait to wonder, were we a little delusional? Think about how many players last year helped the Browns in December that weren't really a part of the nucleus. I mean, it was Kareem Hunt. It was Joe Flacco. It was your kicker, who I guess is part of your nucleus, but you know, he wasn't on the team to begin the year. Like so many of these guys, Amari Cooper, who's no longer here, not even playing right now because he's injured with Buffalo. But those were the guys that were making all the big plays, and they're not even here right now. So who are the guys that we're really relying on to be a part, outside of Myles Garrett and Denzel? Who are those guys?
216-474-0092. Reset or rebuild? Tom and Menor, you're first up on the Fan.
Uncle Kenny, for the first time in our history together, and you know I love you, I absolutely categorically agree with Lima.
You call up and categorically agree with Lima at least once a week. What are you talking about in our first time in our history together?
You haven't let me on in over a month. Listen, I will go ahead and let you know, I love the rose-colored glasses. I love the way you're trying to look at it. But again, I think Lyman's dead on. You want to do the soft rebuild where we're going to go ahead and be bad for 4 or 5 years and not compete until we get to the promised land. I agree with Lyman. You strip it down to the studs. You cut everybody that you're going to go ahead and cut. Because again, what did it do to have Deshaun Watson on the team, where he literally, not only is he costing you dead cap space, he's costing you a roster spot, a quarterback spot, and he's literally an eyesore to go ahead and take a look at. Number one.
So wait a minute. So I'm so mad at Deshaun Watson and his contract, which is an albatross, and in this sentence to Browns prison, that I'm just going to let all these other players go away, and so I'm going to let those contracts and Deshaun Watson's contract work against us, and then we're just going to have a bunch of pups play and go 2016 all over again. Might as well break out the old jerseys.
I'm so glad you happened to say that, because you said the same thing to me a couple months ago when you said, if Deshaun doesn't work out, we will be in Browns prison hell.
Yes.
For the next 3 years.
Yes.
And it's come to fruition. So we either fight it or we embrace it and we go ahead and move forward.
But I'm giving you an opportunity to be competitive at some point in the near future instead of not being competitive for at least 3 years.
You think if we go and hold on to him and all this dead cap space that we're actually going to be competitive?
I can't guarantee it, but I can guarantee you won't be competitive for about 3 years if you just liquidate all these players and you have his contract on your books.
But this is where I agree with Lima. I don't think the talent that we have is as good as we want to think it is. Again, if you look at last year and you look at this year, again, I don't want to go sound like a broken record, but we were printing Super Bowl tickets. We were that close and we were that sure. Everything's lined up in place. We got the most talent in the NFL. And look where it got us last year. Look where it got us even worse this year. We didn't have the talent. We don't have the talent we think we have. God bless Nick Chubb, Myles Garrett, Betonio, all of them. You got to put them on the blocks. And I don't even think you're going to get that much for them to begin with. But I'll tell you what, if you don't tear it down right now, we're going to be talking in 4 years. Hey, here comes another 7-10 season. Here comes another 8-9 season. I just think you got to go and come to reality, Uncle Kenny. Love you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you very much for the call. I feel that is unrealistic. I really do. But here we are at an impasse. John and Wadsworth, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not terrible. Go ahead.
I completely disagree with that caller. I don't understand I mean, let's really call it what we're calling it here. We're talking about drafting a quarterback next year. All of us know it. The whole world knows it. Go look at any mock draft, at least one that has a clue. And we have to keep these players because you need something around that quarterback. Otherwise, you're going to be doing exactly what you did all those other years. Like, oh, we got a first-round quarterback with nothing but crap around them. You keep these players, and you build around that quarterback. And if you want to get rid of them after you've got your quarterback, okay, fine. But Kevin Stefanski has proven in this offense that it works. We talked about how many 300-yard passing games there have been in the last 8 games or whatever without Deshaun Watson. So that offense works. You put that rookie in there with some talented players, and Stefanski doing what he does, that is a great foundation for a fresh start. Worry about getting rid of players later. You have to build around this quarterback that you're going to get.
If they take, John, thank you for the call.
Houston didn't really sit there and say, we have to have everything in place and then take the quarterback. They just took the quarterback and then things took off. Washington, no, but, they had McLaren, but outside of that, they had traded the big name. Remember, they traded names.
Nick Caserio had taken some guys that people were disagreeing on, and he was under fire by that fan base, and then they got C.J. Stroud and things were there. Like, there were still younger. They're younger. Now, I'm not lying about that. But there were younger pieces in place, but there were still pieces in place that Nick Caserio felt that were there. But if I get rid of all these players, and then where the owner's going to want a quarterback, and I put a young quarterback behind all these other players who are young and taken at a discount, I mean, I'm already setting up my young quarterback for failure.
I think we always say that, but the young quarterback,
I'll take the young quarterback. I'm not going away from taking the young quarterback this year.
I
just don't want to set him up for failure.
That is the toughest question every time with these young quarterbacks, the nature versus nurture thing. But I think C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels proved that things change. The culture changes with the quarterback.
I think
their situations were considered dreadful. Coming into the year, Washington was considered one of our easy games. Last year, Houston was considered one of our easy games. Yeah. Why? They kicked our ass in the playoff last year. And this year, Washington kicked our ass.
Washington let Montez Sweat go.
This is what happens when these new quarterbacks come in, and if they're good.
Washington let Montez Sweat go. I think anybody would have let Chase Young go. But they held on to a lot of their core talent that they had.
I think Browns fans would have been saying, don't trade those guys. We need a team around the quarterback. That's the mistake.
That's not Browns fans. You're talking to me, okay? You're talking to me. I can't speak for general Browns fans out there. I just gave you the scenario of what Washington did. You just said Browns fans. You're talking to me. They still kept a lot of their core talent in Washington and put Jaden Daniels in there.
Houston did a sell-off. They liquidated.
If you want another example here, look at what the hell's going on down in Carolina where that guy didn't even have a chance. I didn't even think it was that great, and you didn't either. But they sure as hell didn't make him have a good chance. They let go of Brian Burns for a song. Mm-hmm. They let go of other defensive players for a song. What'd they do? They signed Chuba Hubbard? I mean, what's that going to do to help anything? So you can put a bunch of 20-year-olds around your rookie quarterback and see how that one's going to work, which we've done before, and we saw that one suck up the room. Or you can keep some of the guys that you are still locked into dead cap anyway and see what they can do with your football team, considering they weren't bad last year.
It just seems to me that the Browns are going to go with this one foot in, one foot out, and I think, if anything, it's going to prolong mediocrity for the longest amount of time, as opposed to loading up, getting young players, getting draft picks. I would go with a new GM.
Do you or do you not believe? Okay, that's a different conversation. We're only stuck with you are the general manager. I'm there. Do you or do you not believe that a good quarterback can elevate play?
Of course.
Is it easier to elevate veterans that we've seen play well before, or guys that are just going to be off the block because we liquidated all the assets, we traded away all the players, and we have a bunch of rookies in there? I think the first part is going to be easier for him.
How are we getting that quarterback?
We're going to draft them here in this first round.
Okay, well, they did not do what they could to maximize their draft assets. They did not do that. Missed that opportunity.
What were they going to get? They were going to get fifth-round picks back?
Is always used
what
to move up.
Hire in the first round?
You haven't seen? That's what Philadelphia made a living doing over the years, was bottling up those bottom draft picks. They are a testimonial for that.
To draft a quarterback?
Like, you've been watching the same league I have. You know that.
Yeah, did they take Jalen Hurts in the first round in the top five? No, they took Jalen Hurts in the second round. And then they took all those other six-round picks, not to move up in the first round.
So you don't want extra draft. So you just said second round draft picks.
You don't want extra draft picks?
That doesn't matter?
Because you were going to get fifth and sixth round picks where you could let these guys go and get higher compensatory picks.
The other teams are giving you a blueprint and you are rejecting it.
No, you're not listening to it because you know I have you trapped because I just told you about 2026 and how you can get higher compensatory picks.
You acted as if Washington and Houston weren't abysmal going into the seasons, that they turned it around with their quarterback.
Honestly,
and you're telling me the Browns can't do that.
I don't know what to tell you other than maybe you just lost track of the sense that was being made there and you decided to cover up for you. You sound like me with you 5 years ago. This is terrible.